Safety is bullshit. We'll never feel safe enough to live our truth. And yet, if we truly want to help move the conscious collective forward, we must live our truth despite feeling unsafe. Join me and my dear shamanic soul sister, Brianna, for a conversation that dives deep beyond the paradigms of our current monarchy to uncover the reasons why we experience anxiety when we want to share a truth. In this episode, you'll get a history lesson that will help you understand why we experience fear when we want to speak our truth, how your individual wounds are impacting our collective wound, the difference between feeling safe and feeling secure, and why living in your truth is the greatest contribution to our collective. Brianna Lynn loves the human heart. She believes that within each of us, we possess all that we need. Her work as a soul coach is to support access to this infinite source. She coaches, teaches, and lives the top ancient technologies and transformational journeys to get humans free of what has been slowing them down, standing in their way, and sabotaging their life experience. She earned her NLP Master's Practitioner and began Whole Life NLP in 2010. She integrates this with her Master's in Peace Education from the United Nations University for Peace. This, along with her 13 years of adventures and study in Latin America, serve as the foundation of her soul purpose, inner peace for world peace. NLP family constellations, meditation, soulful movement, and sacred ceremony of various traditions are the tools that she weaves into her in-person and online courses, one-on-one sacred initiation work, and guided journeys around the world. Brianna found the convergence of her love for academia and esoterica in the deep study of ancient healing, celebration, and rites of passage ceremonies. While she has sat with, researched, and prayed with earth traditions spanning Latin and North America, the deepest dive into this resurgence of today's ceremonialists comes from her own relationship with nature and spirit. She weaves this into her retribing movement, our return together as a community in an intentional and sacred way. Needless to say, this is one powerful, powerful episode. Now, if you dig this podcast and you want to stay in the loop, sign up for my weekly emails at rubyframon.com/subscribe. And whether you are new to this podcast or you're a loyal thought leader, please make sure you take a moment to download a few episodes and drop a rating and review on iTunes. Now it is time to dive really, really deep in this awesome, incredible conversation with Brianna Lynn Cabillon. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders, I am back and I have an incredible, incredible guest today. She is a dear, dear soul sister of mine, a teacher of mine, a beautiful woman, warrior, witch, amazing mind and incredible soul. And I'm just so, so grateful to have her share her wisdom with you all today. So I'd like to give a warm welcome to Brianna Lynn Cabillon. Thank you so much for being here, Bri. I love you. And I'm really excited to see where our conversation goes today.
I love you too, Ruby. Thank you for inviting me. It was a big honor to get the invite, and I'm excited to see where this wants to go too.
One of the things that I honor you for is your, I want to say unapologetic, but it's so much more than that. It's like a deep reverence to who you are. Like you really truly show up in a way where you honor your truth, where you honor your voice, where you honor your magic and your gifts. And I think that this is so rare to find in a woman, especially one who is out there leading. As many of our listeners know from former episodes, past episodes, like everyone's kind of doing the same thing because that feels safe. And yet here you are blazing your own trail, doing things differently. And because I know you, I know it's not all just easy. Mm-hmm. And you continue to do it day in and day out. And I just honor you for that because I think it's, you're taking a stand for your cause and your mission. And by taking that stand, you're also taking a stand for your truth and your voice.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the acknowledgement. It feels good.
Yeah. What is it that, I mean, part of me wants to say, how did you get to that place? And the other part of me is like, who really cares? Like we're in it now. And I know that there's a lot of listeners that are really yearning to speak their truth, to really connect to their truth, to connect to their voice. And just before we hit record, you were giving me some historical information that I didn't even know. And ancestral wounding is a real thing. Collective wounding is a real thing. And I think now as a collective, we're starting to realize this because we're seeing the impact that it has because everyone's in, you know, everyone's into personal and spiritual growth now. And we reach these sticky areas where we have something come to the surface and you're like, but this doesn't feel like mine. And you have trouble navigating that. And so I would love for you to share a little bit on what you were sharing with me just before we hit record about why you feel it's so hard for us women to share our truth and to share our voice and to share our magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I came to a point in my personal practice. I'm a shamanic mentor and soul coach, and that's a title that I've developed and unraveled over time. But when I started this work, my personal development work, my spiritual awakening about 13 years ago, I was having a really difficult time coming out of the broom closet, if you will. But really just getting in touch with my magic. I was, you know, raised in a very traditional Christian farming culture and did not have a lot of encouragement or space to explore my spirit or who I am outside of the paradigm that I was growing up in. And so in my personal development work, I came across a body of work called Family Constellations, working with that ancestry. You know, what is it that we've inherited, not just physically, but emotionally and psycho-spiritually mm-hmm. from our ancestors? Mm-hmm. And the conversation is starting to increase in the United States around people of color and the soul of separation that mm-hmm. still exists here.
Definitely. Between,
people of color and people of the majority race here of white people. And within that conversation, there's not really like, okay, so where did this begin? Like, where did the separation begin? Not just in the races, but this idea that we as humanity could treat people in any way, whether it was slavery or segregation mm-hmm. or now just lack of opportunities. And the socioeconomic strata that's still happening because of our differences. And so in this Family Constellations work, I was asking about this strata and the hatred and the confusion amongst races and amongst genders and amongst socioeconomic statuses. And I was also asking for my personal voice. Like, why is it so hard for me to share my magic? Why is it so hard for me to step forward and say, yes, I'm a leader. Yes, I mm-hmm. believe in spirit. Yes, I believe we can talk to angels. Yes, I know that crystals are powerful. Yes, I know the earth talks to me. Yes, I talk to spirits. Like, how to actually stand in that without feeling like someone was going to murder me. Literally, right. The sensation that came over my body was that I was going to be suffocated and my throat literally would start to close up. And it felt like I had something very tight around my neck. Mm-hmm. So in a process called Family Constellations, which is, a meditative / mediumship practice, I tapped into the lineage of witches that run through my family bloodline. And once I discovered that there were even witches in my family, I started doing some research. And mm-hmm. it's her story as much as it is his story. There were 9 million women murdered between 1100 AD and 1700 AD.
Wow.
Eastern and Western Europe. Yeah. And it was specifically created by the centralized, well, eventually turning into multiple countries, but the Roman Empire turned into the Catholic Church. And in order to gain power and prestige over people's minds and hearts, they had to create an enemy. The best way to rally anyone, Trump's doing mm-hmm. an amazing job at this, by right. the way, is yeah. to identify an enemy that everyone can hate.
Yes.
People rally around hate as almost more than anything else, at least the way that we're being expressed as human beings right now. So the Catholic Church identified an enemy, and that was the indigenous people of Europe, the Celts. And just like Native Americans, the Celts were identified by another called the Celts. And actually, there were over 650 different indigenous native tribes to Eastern and Western Europe, with all of their own languages, all of their own cultures, all of their own traditions. And the majority of those who were leading the spiritual center of these indigenous cultures were women. Mm. And specifically within the Druid culture, they were called the Bandrui, or the high priestesses. And the women were the keepers of life and death. They were the ones who did all the birthing rituals. They were the midwives. They were the keepers of death. They were the one who did all the death rituals. They knew the herbs. They knew the plants. They knew how to take care of the sick. They were the medical doctors. They were the counselors. They were the healers. They were the shamans. They were the keepers of song. They were the keepers of the his and her stories. They were the oral traditional keepers. Mm-hmm. They had schools. They had trainings. They had rituals. And once they were identified as the spiritual leaders of their communities, they were murdered. They were killed. And the Celtic extermination wiped out many, many of these women. But as Western Europe started to develop and countries started to develop, they were still noticing that there were many women practicing herbal medicine. They were right. still practicing traditional songs, the use of the drum and the rattle in order to journey shamanically. Mm-hmm. And the difficult thing about being an oligarchy or an empire is if people can travel shamanically, if people can go and see their infinite self, it's very hard to keep them enslaved.
Right. It's a threat. It's a threat to their society. Yeah.
It's a threat to their society. A threat to our current society is anyone who can see that we are all connected. Mm-hmm. Because our current society runs on strata, money, race, gender. Any of these strata is what keeps people separated. And when people are separated and the populace can't unite, there can still be a hierarchical rule where a small amount of people are receiving the majority of the resources. Mm. So what was established in Western and Eastern Europe in the early 1100s was an identification of women as a dangerous threat when they have connection to the infinite source. And the word that came forward around that time was witch. This was right. not a word that women claimed. This was not something women wanted to be. It was the word identified by the Catholic Church to identify women who were wise medicine women, essentially, mm-hmm. and in order to be tortured and killed. There were, there's no known cases of a woman who was accused of being a witch who was then let free unless she was able to accuse and then find guilty two or more other witches. So right. the whole sister wound is very, I feel, birthed from this era, because it was pitting women against women, or even pitting families against families. You know, someone would threaten that the whole family was practicing witchcraft unless they could identify the witch within their family. So fathers and mothers turning into daughters, sisters turning into other sisters turning into right. mothers.
It's throwing the label around. And we see that happening nowadays too. It's like, yes. let's create a label to identify these people that we see as a threat. And then let's create a description of what these people are and throw it out into the public space and then allow the witch hunt to happen. And yes. it's something that we're seeing even now as a society in a country like the United States of America, like we see it. And it's so interesting because we never learned this. Like, this is all new to me. Like, I didn't know that 9 million were murdered. 9 million is a significant number. And for us to fathom, like, the impact of that has to be real. You know, it's 9 million women who were murdered for being labeled a witch and being labeled a witch for their way of being. Mm-hmm. That's really it. Like, we're going to throw this label on you because this is how you're being. And this doesn't fit this nice little container that we're creating that we want everyone to fit into. So for us to sit here now and say that that didn't have an impact on us, like, the impact is massive, and it makes so much sense how you're connecting it back to the sister wound.
Mm-hmm. And it's massive because once the Celtic genocide happened, that's when colonization began. Like, once Europe was established, it was like, all right, all the indigenous people are gone here. We have rule of the resources here. Let's go out to get resource, right? Let's go out to get whatever natural resource or free labor. And so it was almost like a practice round, eliminating the indigenous peoples of Europe and eliminating a huge populace of the females in Europe was a practice round for the numbing, I would say, the numbing of what was considered humane. Once you identify someone as not human, the ability to torture and kill them is a lot higher. Once you identify someone as outside of what we consider to be normal human morality, those people don't have the same morals as us. Those people don't have the same humanity as us.
Right.
Something switches in the human psyche and they're able to do horrific things. And I like sharing this because a lot of times it's stratified within, you know, who we be as that our melatonin has something to do with that, our melanin has something to do with that. But actually, it began with Europeans killing Europeans. It began, and the otherization had nothing to do with skin color. The otherization had to do with culture, and the otherization had to do with ideas about life and death, spirituality. Mm-hmm. The first genocide was really around spiritual monarchy. The Catholic Church wanted to have the complete rule of the minds, hearts, and bodies of the people. And then once that was created, once that separation was created, people could go out and identify, oh, because these people are this color, or because they have these practices, or because they live this way, they're not as humane. They're savage.
Right. Let's dehumanize these people. Yes. And we've seen this in history, in the history that's actually taught. Like, we've seen it in the Holocaust. All the propaganda that was thrown into society was to dehumanize the Jewish community and completely mark them as, you know, not even close to being human. And then we see that happening now, right? With the label terrorist.
Yes.
With the label Muslim. With the label Black. We see this happening over and over and over again. And these things have an impact on us as human beings, on us as a human collective. And the fact that we can do this to each other, that we can actually say this other human being is not as human as we are. It's crazy. And yet it continues to happen. And so now we're left with a society of women, of leaders, of people who are scared to share their truth. Yeah. And we both see this in the work that we do with our clients. And it's like we've been conditioned for sure through our religious upbringings, our programming, our values that, you know, our parents bestow upon us. And there's also this other ancestral impact that we're carrying within the cells of our DNA, within us, that is preventing us from feeling as if it's safe to speak our truth and dare to be anything different than what society is already portraying. And if we go into, you know, bring it into the digital age, digital social media, it's like if you try and do anything that makes you stand out, that's a threat. That's a threat to your belonging, your basic human need of belonging, your basic human need of being loved. And so we see people manipulating the way that they're being seen online.
Oh, yeah.
Manipulating the way that they're showing. They're only showing parts of their lives. They're diluting their potency. They're not sharing their true opinions or not speaking up for their true causes for fear of judgment, for fear of not being accepted, for fear of being shunned, being hated. And this is also, I believe, and I feel like you believe this too, what is making us as a society sick, like unhealthy, unhappy, depressed, anxious. I mean, if we cannot speak our own truth, then what are we speaking?
Exactly.
And so where do we go from here?
I think it's really beautiful the way you brought it forward as the collective wound, because it's the individual wound connected to the collective wound. It's almost like a little, the string attached to the kite, right? And my individual wound is afraid of being shunned, or my individual wound is afraid of being bullied, or my individual wound is being shut down by someone I care about, or my individual wound is someone in a position of power is going to reject me in some way. The collective wound that that's connected to is torture and death.
Right.
Right. So anytime that we, especially as female leaders, activate that individual wound and that anxiety of sharing ourselves, it's like we tap into the Akashic record of what it has meant for the past 10 generations of women who could have been accused and tried and killed as a witch. I mean, in the United States, the last laws about witches were eliminated in the 1950s.
Wow.
Like, there's still a huge resonance for this energy in this country. I mean, we had witch trials here in Salem in the 1800s. And so it's not like it's out of this world. It's not like it was long ago and far away. And I want to be really clear, the time of the burning times and the time of the Celtic genocide, and I want to be really clear, the 9 million women are not connected to the genocide. That's not connected to the millions of other people who were murdered
right. As
cultures before that time. So I'm not going there. That's a little bit more history than I want to get into today. But what that imprinted in human psyche was that the ability to completely eliminate indigenous peoples gave a sense of power, gave resource to, at the time, what the monarchy was deeply connected to, which was the Catholic Church. And that shows up in different ways. It's showing up more as a corporate structure now, but a body of people who want to rule others as slaves. I want to be super clear. This wasn't about God. This wasn't about religion. This wasn't about ideas. This was about a group of people who wanted to have a cheap labor force and access to natural resources. Mm-hmm. It's a socioeconomic and spiritual conversation.
Right.
So when I, as an individual, activate that part of myself that's anxious, or I'm about to post something that's vulnerable, or I'm about to share, you know, a program that I'm really connected to, something that I deeply, deeply care about, that individual wound can tap into the Akashic records and feel, and I can start to feel not only my connection to the DNA lineage through that witch line in Europe, but all the women and all the earth peoples over the past 1,000 years that have been completely eliminated off the planet because they didn't fit into the slave and thought process that the current monarchy wanted to create, right? I don't fit into that. I don't fit in as a good slave. I'm not a good slave. And when I'm not a good slave, what I become is a threat to the current system, to the current hierarchical system. That is the main anxiety that I see in women leaders today, is they are not slaves. They don't fit into the current system, but we haven't established another system of support that says your individual wound and the level of anxiety and fear that comes through you, you're not fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. You're not crazy. You're tapping into the Akashic records of deep pain and suffering of the past 1,000 years of obliteration of people, indigenous peoples, earth peoples from around the world, and specifically the hunting of women. Mm-hmm. Who are the first people to oppose war? Who are the first people to say, I don't want my sons and my husbands to be used as slaves in your conquest? That was the women.
Right.
The women every time. And so we are the first ones that are shut down when the current hierarchical system thinks that we could get out of control. Right? And that's really what female empowerment is. That was really what it means to empower the women, to let us get out of control and really express ourselves. And the level of frustration and anger and anxiety that has been running through our system, that is not only ours, it is ours, but it's not only ours. And how we could actually create a front as women, men, and others of all types to finally have the conversation around getting out of a slave system, because we still currently live in a slave system.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I loved what you, you know, when you said out of control, what came up for me is like, it's such a funny term, right? Out of control. And if, when we don't consciously think about what that means, we can automatically assume like, oh yeah, they're going to go wild. They're going to go crazy. And really what it means is they are out of control, meaning out of the control that is currently taking place. So yeah. This isn't about getting in to a state of like craziness. I mean, it the perception is to the bearer, the person who's actually looking. Being out of control is really getting into the essence of who we truly are. Being out of control is speaking our truth. Being out of control is sharing our own opinions, our own thoughts, and really activating that truth center within us so that we can start to show up from that place. Mm-hmm. And if that's what out of control means, awesome. Sign me the fuck up. Like, I am in there. And we need to, first of all, like, stop. Yeah, I hate that term, out of control. And really understand that this isn't about losing control. This is about gaining your voice back. This is about gaining your truth back. This is about gaining empowerment. This is about gaining that connection to yourself. Because when we are not speaking our truth, when we are not showing up in a place that really embodies our soul, then we are creating a disconnect within our own life. And then that disconnect is going to create, is going to contribute to the further disconnect in our society, in our conscious collective.
Yes.
And we wonder why we as a people feel so disconnected.
Yeah.
It all starts within. And it's so interesting how all of these things, and I really hope our listeners are starting to see like how these dots are all connected and how this is so much more than just this life that you are living today. It is generations upon generations upon generations of wounding that we as humanity have yet to really create a resolution to, which is why we continue to repeat it in different ways. And why it's still contributing to this feeling of being unsafe. Because I think that that's, with a lot of my female clients, that's the one thing they really want is to feel safe. I know that that's something that I've always wanted, is to feel safe. I want to feel safe enough to speak my truth. I want to feel safe enough to just show up as I am. I want to feel safe enough to stand on stage and speak about whatever the fuck I want to speak about. That's aligned with my cause, aligned with what I believe in, aligned with my vision. Mm-hmm. I want to feel safe. And we get to start creating that safety within ourselves now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And it's almost like irregardless of what we feel. Like, it's almost like I've had to really understand that this feeling of safety, I mean, ultimately it's an illusion. We're all dying. We're all going to die. Like, what is this like concept of safety that I'm so attached to, right? Like,
right.
I'm not going to be attacked, that I'm not going to be arrested, that I'm not going to be judged, that I'm not going to die. Like, actually all of those things have happened or will happen. Mm-hmm. So this concept of safety is thrown around like it's my prerequisite. Before I can share my truth, I need to feel safe. I'm calling bullshit. We're actually not going to feel safe. Mm-hmm. There's certain levels of personal work and like grounding our nervous system to understand we live on a planet where people are living and dying every day. We're mm-hmm. all going to die. You are actually not safe. I am actually not safe. Mm-hmm. The concept that like nothing can touch me, or that I'm always going to be supported, or no one's going to attack me, or I'm not going to say anything that's going to get me arrested. I actually don't fucking know.
Right.
We actually don't know that we're safe. Mm-hmm. And that reality is what keeps women from speaking up. Mm-hmm. It's not just establishing a baseline level of safety when I do my yoga, when I eat well, when my partner and I are on good terms, when I'm supported by my friends. That's a baseline level mm-hmm. of how I create security in my life. But actual safety, like I'm in the car daily. That's the most dangerous thing to do.
Right.
The most deadly thing to do I'm doing daily, right? I bring my kids in the car. More people die from car accidents than so many other things. And it's like, if I really was focused on safety, I'd be living in a bunker under the woods. You know what I mean? It's almost like this, we've been fed this concept around feeling safe and what that means. And I think it's high level bullshit to keep women small. We actually are not safe. There's millions of comets flying through the sky that can hit the earth at any time. Mm-hmm. Anyone can see a car accident. Someone who's a murderer can come into your home. Like, no matter where you live in the world, you're not safe.
And even the hierarchical structure, this whole system of slavery was built on the idea that a small group of people could keep themselves safe and secure. And guess what? It's just not true. That's not the human existence. Mm-hmm. That's not what it means to live on right. planet Earth. It's not safe to be here.
Right. So if it's not safe to be here, if it's not about safety, then what is it about? Then what is this about? For the listeners who are like, I am here and I really want to get to that place where I feel safe or feel comfortable enough to speak my truth.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. If we're waiting to be comfortable enough, if we're waiting to feel safe enough, like I said, get the baseline security, right? Have a good spiritual practice or morning routine that allows the nervous system to relax, right? That's vital. Eating good living water. These are all things that help the nervous system, right? The anxiety. Anxiety is a lot of energy running through the spinal cord. Mm-hmm. That isn't allowed to digest in the system, and there isn't a way to run it through the system. Eating good food, having a physical practice, moving the physical body, moving your animal every day, having a way to express yourself, especially in a purge and the not beautiful things. So having close friends that can listen to you and not take you seriously when you're going through the shit. Like the things that help our nervous system not be at this level, but like right. that grounded space, get into that secure place. But in terms of our physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, being financial, sexual, being safe, like that's just not our reality in this third dimension. There actually is no safety. There can be security that I create through my practices and through my community, but ultimately none of us are guaranteed another moment. None of us are guaranteed another breath. And it's actually the relationship with death, which was the role of the shaman, which was the role of the indigenous medicine people throughout the world, was to help humans have a good relationship with death. Because that's ultimately the only thing we fear.
Right.
That's the ultimate fear, is when we're going to die and what happens and what's going to happen to my family. And it's like that, ameliorating that fear, understanding that conversation, that at the base of this conversation around safety is actually our lack of shamanic practices on the fact that we are going to die. Mm-hmm. And we have no way of predicting when that's going to be. And that scares the shit out of every human being. And that is why I believe that the hierarchy created a hierarchy. They were trying to escape death. They're trying to escape this mortality, but there's no escape. Mm-hmm. Just because you enslave someone else and they're doing all the work for you and you have all the natural resources in the world and you have 1,800 Ferraris does not have you escape from death.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I have a certain compassion for the way the hierarchy has been established, because in all of our trappings of trying to escape death, that's actually what creates the feeling of unsafety. The mm-hmm. people who I know who feel the most unsafe have the most external security around them, right? Mm-hmm. That I've worked with who have, you know, high level of like maybe not top 1%, but top 5% on the planet of people that I've interacted with. And, you know, they live in gated communities, or they have a complete, you know, enclosed fortress, and they have their cars and they have their private jet, and they have this literally enclosed world where they're not interacting with the rest of the world. And these are the people I interacted with. So there might be some who are out there, but to me, they are vibrating at a frequency of the most unsafe, mm-hmm. the most unsafe. Right. Yeah. And so it's not so much like, what can I establish in my external world? For me, it's become a practice of learning, this life is precious. I could die at any moment. What do I need to establish for my personal practices to calm my nervous system?
Yeah.
To not be at this frequency all the time. Right. That could be a fun place to go into, but not my constant frequency.
Yeah, it's not where I want to live. And it's like the idea of controlling what's controllable, right? Like, we don't have control over everything around us. We don't have control over other people's reactions. We don't have control over all of these things that could leave us feeling unsafe, but we do have control over us. We do have control over how we set ourselves up for the day. We do have control over how we nourish our physical vessel, how we feel, how we can feel mentally. And anyone who's ever conquered or overcome something in their life, like, you know this, you know that you have some control over you. We don't have that control over other things. And so I'm going to take back my statement earlier about, like, we have to create that safety within ourselves. It's like creating that security, mm-hmm. safety versus security, and doing it anyways, speaking up anyways, sharing your truth anyways, showing up in all your magic and woo-woo and spirituality, glory and your shamanism, whatever it is, doing that anyways, mm-hmm. just being you anyways, despite what is out there and what is around you. And I can attest to this because it's not like I am not met with adversity. I am met with adversity, both within my family, within friendships, within sisterhood, within society, within my online following. And I continue to do this because I am creating a sense of freedom within me.
Yes.
And that feels incredible. I would much rather be on this planet and live my truth. And I don't even know the fullest expression of my truth yet. This is just an exploration. This is a constant journey. This is a journey that I will probably be on until the end of my life.
Yeah.
Because this is where we get to play now. You know, for as Brianna has shared with us, like for centuries, we have been pushed underneath this blanket that society wants to live under. And now we're starting to rise as a collective with, you know, the popularity of spiritual and personal development. People are starting to get in touch with who they are. And so people are starting to overcome a lot of these beliefs and these wounds. And we have this awesome collective of people who are now just playing and exploring in their truth. And my invitation is to continue doing that because, number one, you're going to create your own freedom. And number two, you are shifting your lineage. And in doing so, you are also contributing to the shift in our collective lineage.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And just like the individual wound is connected to that collective wound, so the individual empowerment is connected to that collective empowerment. Every time we feel a feeling, every time we think a thought and continue to feed it, whatever it may be, we're contributing to an energetic bank account mm-hmm. that we are all connected to. All of human history, all of, I would say, sentient being, his mm-hmm. and her story, is connected in an energetic web that some people call the Akashic Records, mm-hmm. literally the collective consciousness. So every time I think a thought, every time I have a feeling, the deeper the thought, the deeper the feeling, the more mantra, the more times I repeat it over and over myself, I'm mm-hmm. contributing little energetic pennies either to the collective fear wound or the collective empowerment wound. Those are the two main bank accounts, the collective fear wound or the collective empowerment wound. And it is based on love, but I use the word empowerment because it really is about stepping forward in our power of how much power we have to shift the collective. Mm-hmm. If each individual is deeply committed that this is not just my spiritual journey, but I'm committed to contributing to that bank account of empowerment for myself and all of humanity in this lifetime, whether I have children or not, I have a lineage. Mm-hmm. It's called that energetic bank account, the Akashic Records, the thing that we are always, always, always connected to as human beings. And I dare say all sentient beings as well. Every time I contribute positive, uplifting, conquering my inner fears. Every time I contribute, hey, I'm feeling this fear and I'm gonna share this truth anyways. Mm-hmm. Every time I indulge in the empowerment of myself, I am contributing to the collective empowerment.
Yes. Yes. And that is what's going to shift the collective. You know, a lot of people are out there saying, I am here to shift the collective. I'm here to move the collective forward. It's like, yes, and that starts with you. Yes. That starts with you showing up. That starts with you speaking your truth. That starts with you daring to show up as you mm-hmm. and doing the deep inner work to uncover more of you so that you get to bring those parts of you out.
Yes.
And that is how our history as human beings will shift. So this is a very exciting time. And with as much disarray as there is happening in the world, with as much trauma that is being brought to the surface, I think we can both agree that it's all being brought to the surface right now for a reason. Like all of this is happening for a reason so that we cannot no longer deny that there is a collective wound. Mm-hmm. It's all around us. You can't turn on the news without hearing something that has to do with this. You can't go on Twitter without seeing anything that, you know, political debate, something that, you know, our leaders are now doing that are forcing us against each other, turning us against each other. Like it's everywhere. It's all around us. And it's so, so, so loud. and we can no longer deny it. And so what do we do about it? We can start to shift it. And that begins with us, and that begins with rising up and using our voices and daring to dive deep beneath these wounds to uncover the pieces of us that have been repressed or that we've repressed so that we can bring this to the surface.
Yeah, truly. And I really appreciate the way that you bring it back to the individual, because that's really where it starts and ends. Like, what am I contributing energetically in my day-to-day? This concept or this conversation that I've heard of, like, I'm here to shift the collective.
Right.
It's like, great. How are you living on your edge? Like, what are you contributing to that energetic bank account? Right. Like, every day, am I living on my edge? Am I looking at my fears? Am I leaning into that feeling of unsafety and doing it anyway? Because that is actually the best way to contribute to the collective, because it's only in the conversation of that space that's right on my edge that we can actually have the difficult conversation. So it's like right now, be in the practice of leaning into your edge personally, whether it's making amends with a family member or finally launching your business or, you know, stepping away from a relationship that's abusive, whatever that edge is, that is the greatest contribution to the collective, to live deeply in your truth. It doesn't mean that you run for coach president of the United States and you're leading everyone with a torch. That's the old idea of hierarchy, that one person is going to be the leader and we're all going to find them. What's happening now is like cells that are starting to form of a zygote, and they're coming together to create tissue. And there's this popping and awakening happening on the planet. And then we're coming together as collectives, because the only thing that's going to shift the hierarchical structure of slavery is a lateral conversation around our equality. But if we try to pin that the leaders are this, or that the leaders look like this, that is still the hierarchical structure. If someone believes that they are going to be the one to make the shift, they are still in the hierarchical structure of slavery. I am not the one to make the shift. We are creating
the one.
Shift, and I contribute by being on my personal edge of anything that I'm avoiding out of needing to be safe. This is the thing this is why the word safety, I'm just so oof with, because I see more people use it as a tool of avoidance.
Definitely.
From leaning into their edge than actually showing up and taking responsibility for our life. Is it our fault that we have the collective wound? No, but it is our responsibility to address it by activating our personal ability to lean into our edges in the places that we avoid because we think they're unsafe.
That is power. And it's so interesting when we lay it all out on the table like this, to actually examine it and look at it and see the truth of what's actually happening, both within us as individuals and in our collective. So we're nearing the end of this episode, and I just want to take a moment to honor you and say thank you so much for educating us, for sharing your wisdom with us, for opening our eyes and our ears to the truth that lies beyond what is actually being shown. And now, to all our listeners, you get to start seeing life from this lens without the veil. And you get to start stepping up and stepping out in your truth. Because if you're really here to help move the conscious collective forward, which I'm pretty sure all of you are because you're listening to this podcast, then that starts with you. That starts with you working through your wounds, both from this lifetime and from your lineage and from our lineage as a collective. So thank you, Brianna. Thank you so much for just being here, for being present, for sharing your presence. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It's been a lovely conversation, and I'm excited to empower people to not think about safety. It's not safe. That's the whole point.
Yes. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can get more of you online, and then I'll be sure to have those links in the show notes.
Sweet. So my website is wholelifenlp.com, but the way to get a hold of me, all my handles are at Whole Life Witch, and reclaiming that word to empower ourselves to understand that it's not safe to be who we are, and that's okay.
Yes, yes, I love that. So thank you, Brianna. Thank you to our listeners for being with us today, for being us on today's Thought Leader, where we are challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. If you loved this episode with me and Brianna, please, please be sure to drop a rating and review on iTunes and share it with a friend. And in addition to that, reach out to us on social media. My handle is at I Am Ruby. Brianna's is at Whole Life Witch. Reach out to us on social media and let us know that you listened to this. Let us know what you thought of it. Share your biggest insights. We would absolutely love to hear from you. And that's it for today's episode. I will see you all back here on Thursday for a brand new episode of today's Thought Leader.